listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. July 26, 2015. Fakeologist Audio Chat. I'm just looking for Dal Tampra. Tom Dalpra, let me go find him. He left me. Hi, Tom.
All right.
Hey.
Tom Dalpra, one of my favorite commenters at fakeologist.com, just entered the room. Welcome.
Thank you, Ab.
I always enjoy your commentary. I have to admit, I don't read all the forum posts on the British stuff as much as I would like to, but I see you're very active in those areas, and I'm fine with whatever you have to say, so I don't, but I don't pay attention to it, just so you know.
Well, I take it with you, like you said, with the Mountbatten case came up the other day, and you said, I don't look at it, so I think there's some of these things. Yeah, if it's not your line of interest, I don't look at some of your stuff. It's quirky, this relationship we have. We've got a busy sort of site. You do your thing, I do my thing. And, it seems to go okay. And I know you look at some of my stuff, and I look at some of your stuff as well. And there's a crossover and a common ground.
I see all your comments, but I don't really follow it too closely. I don't know much. You just can't follow everything. There's just too much to follow. And most of the British stuff never gets in the news over here at all. None of the stuff that you talk about makes it over to North America in any way. So the only way I know about it is you're talking about it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting dynamic, isn't it? We see how these things can be sort of compartmentalized within countries.
I know you don't care about the local Toronto stuff. Why would you? It's not interesting because you don't live here. But we're always more interested in what's around us.
Oh, there's common ground all the time, you know, I'm sure. And it's just always interesting to hear you talk about other things and big issues and big topics. So, it's all good stuff. And it, like we say, it's across the world or whatever the map is. And, so it's bound to have that dynamic to it. But it's very interesting to bring it together, being able to do it on the internet like this and see. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, they gave us the internet, you know, so here we are.
I love the internet. The internet will never go away. I'll tell you why. Because Amazon just passed Walmart as the biggest, most, I'm not sure exactly how they passed them, but I think on the stock exchange, they're a higher capitalized company on the New York Stock Exchange now, or on the NASDAQ. In other words, they're a bigger company, and Amazon, of course, is a completely internet company. There's no Amazon store. Well, the internet cannot go away because they can't let that kind of money evaporate, right? Without the internet, there'd be no Amazon. So there's no way the internet's going away if anyone wants to fearmonger that.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. The beauty of these things is they have to be, life has to be how it is. It's not, and it isn't that bad at all, you know, a lot of the time.
The only thing they can do is censor it, but even that would be quite a nightmare. Because there's just too many ways to connect. We're on Teamspeak, which has nothing to do with the central voice of Google or Microsoft. And if there wasn't Teamspeak, there would be something else.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Now, there's got to be some interesting sort of issues here we should talk about, I think. We could waffle about technical stuff, but it's all interesting. But, what should we really talk about?
Oh, my God. Well, what are you really interested in? I was talking to O'Hallahan. He's been on the audio chat lately. And
O'Hallahan.
I got nothing to talk about.
The guy, and he came in, okay, you know, I would love to be with you and make love to your baby. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm seeing this here now, I don't know. And I heard that, enjoyed him, liked him in a way. Yeah, I guess imitation being something flat.
My point is there's a million things to talk about. There's too many things to talk about. Now, you know that I'm following the ball flat earth skepticism stuff. And it's actually bringing back some old 9/11 researchers into the fray. Is that by design? Is that by accident? We can't know.
You look at Vice, the Vice man. So he looks like probably planted to an extent, potentially. He's been questioned. And they said, look, he's lying to Judy Wood. And he's with her research on 9/11.
Who is this?
He's an interesting guy to listen to.
Who are we talking about?
David Vice.
Vice?
I've probably got it wrong. He's a guy that always turns up. Is it Dirth? Or his handle?
David Weiss. Sorry. Yeah, deep inside the rabbit hole. Well, yeah, I've been listening to him. He's the co-host with John LeBon. Great name, by the way, John LeBon.
John's a good, he's well-spoken, John. He he's a good host. I listened to him last night, the previous one you put up, and the pair of YouTubes you put up. But the John LeBon latest round table was a bit better. He wasn't sort of going ball earthers and round earthers. I preferred the sort of terminology a bit this week. And there were some interesting guys on. David Weiss being one of them, you know, but it's very interesting. And the Mark Sargent thing, we haven't spoken since then, but I was onto the sort of, it was Johan Backers that put me onto the flat earth, probably a year ago, okay. Less than a year ago. He came along and just made me think about it. He said that he talked about the UN map, and he said he put in the idea that this presented the idea of Stalin and Churchill. Had come up with the idea that, you know, come on, this round earth thing is nonsense. We're going to go into a new age with the UN and have the unveiling of the flat earth and say it actually is, and this is the new map. So that idea was very interesting, I thought, because I thought, wow, a new age. It wasn't that I expected one very soon, or that it wouldn't be a case of here comes the new boss, same as the old boss. I was interested in that. I thought, well, that's feasible in a sense, hypothetically, theoretically. So I looked at it and I just thought, well, as soon as I started looking at the evidence, the very basic evidence of looking across water was a stunner for me, was compelling, because it's just something I can really see and feel and sense. And when I got Samuel Rowbottom's idea of the point of infinity and how the horizon rises and our eyes calibrate a lower finite point of infinity, which isn't actually real. That was brilliant. I loved that.
It's funny you mention that, because I just listened to Mark Sargent's latest podcast, number 14, I think. I don't post all of them, because I don't really want to post every single one of every single, because he's a regular podcaster now, so people can go there and find it themselves if they're that interested. But on the other hand, he had Jeffrey Grupp on. I just finished listening to that. Jeffrey Grupp is from Antimatter Radio from a few years ago, who did a lot of 9/11. He made a lot of 9/11 sense.
Yeah, it comes across to me, all this stuff. You post a lot of these videos with these people. It's like finding out 9/11 was an inside job, probably, quite possibly, and then being just getting all this media from the social media and the different stuff, the different people, and you're learning different bits and bobs from it. You end up with Alex Jones, and he talks a lot of sense. You learn a lot from these people, in actual fact.
I do.
So if flat earth is there something there, like 9/11, you know, you're going to get Alex Jones's right from the start. It's going to be controlled to an extent. And we're always looking out for them, aren't we? But they're still not. It's not that they're not interesting to listen to.
Right. Well, Jeffrey grew up to speak to your looking across the water. He just did he started a YouTube channel. I can't remember the name of it, but I'll post on it later. And he's talking about looking across Lake Michigan, which is a pretty decent distance, at the skyline of Chicago. And the weatherman who was showing that video was explaining that the only reason you can see Chicago clearly is because it was a mirage. He was trying to explain away the fact that you could see all of Chicago, even though there would have been quite a drop if the earth was curved. See? So he's trying to say, well, you're seeing a mirage because otherwise you could not have seen it because the earth is curved. And there would have been a big hump in the middle of Lake Michigan to block the skyline. But Jeffrey Grupp, Jeffrey Grupp is trying to go into that, because there's a lot of complications involved. It's not as simple as looking across the water, because you see, our eyes have limitations, and also there is what he calls refraction, which is along the surface of the water, which makes sense because the sun would bounce off the water and create a bit of an obscuring of the imagery on the bottom near the water. So he's trying to describe all that. I haven't watched the video, but there's a lot of complications that are that one could say, well, the reason you can't see the bottom of the buildings is because the earth is curved. But he's saying, no, it's all refraction, and surveyors take into account refraction off the surface, and they put it at 14%, where the other 86% would be the curve. But Jeffrey is saying, no, there's no split at all. It's all refraction because there's no curve. So these are all discussions I've never heard. And let's just hash them out. Let's just listen. Let's try and figure it out and with our fakeologist glasses. I don't have a problem with it.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting. You look at the evidence. Absolutely. I think that's a basic point. We look across water there. And how do we then see round the curvature of the Earth? Because science will tell you that the Earth, it will, quote, appears flat in optical experiments. It can appear flat in optical experiments. So it has to then explain that. And that's fair enough. There may be a trick to the eye. We know these things happen. So they say it happens through a combination of refraction and being close to the surface of the water, and then it makes it look like, oh, that's a remarkable coincidence that it makes it look absolutely flat by doing that every time we look with a telescope when something's gone out of vision and then returns to vision with a better lens. I mean, so, but, you know, where's the trick of the eye happening? Is it this idea that Samuel Rowbottom said, when we look out to the horizon, we can't see the point of infinity, therefore our eyes calibrate a lower one? It's probably incredible how we see life, only life itself. Probably we are infinite beings, but we can't imagine it for with our human limitations, because these bodies are so limited, they die ultimately. We can't see beyond death, so it's like a wall is put up in our imaginations, isn't it, in a sense? You know, that's our perspective, but this is real terms in vision. We can't see infinity. Yeah. The point of infinity is there, really. And it's just a wall's been put up in front of us. We can't see it. It's an optical illusion. It's a trick of nature that possibly been used to trick us.
Well, I was thinking there might be something to it as well, because our eyes are spheres. We know that. Our eyes are spheres. Therefore, the back of our eyes, the retina, would perceive as the visual sensors that get translated to electrical signals that get sent to our brain, mind you, and the image is upside down when it hits our retina because the lens reverses it, because that's how lenses work. So I was just wondering maybe if the curvature of our eyeball had any impact on the way we see things over a great plane, because we can only see less than 180 degrees. I don't know what our field of vision is and as an angle, but there's a lot of things there that maybe people might want to discuss or look into. But
I think you're right.
The other thing I want to mention is, Bro keeps bringing up the fact, which I think is a good one, that the technology for zooming in is getting better and better. The resolution of cameras, the CMOSs, is growing exponentially, so we're getting more and more detail. These are things that are changing. This is why the debate could be coming up again, because technology is being put into the hands of the little people, and they can do more things with their limited senses with all this technology. I don't necessarily think this is a psyop being put into our hands. I think it could be something possibly organic because of technology, just like the internet. So I can talk to you. So,
yes, yeah. I mean, I'm not. I see how these things can be organic. I think that's true.
I see your light on, but I can't hear you.
Weird. Where are we going? You hear me now? You read me? How's that? Do you read me?
Go on, Tom.
Do you read me? Hello? Hello? You're right. I think that... I'm hearing a recording of myself.
Hold on, Tom. I lost you there. I know you're there, but I can't hear you. Just hold on. Well, my media went out. That's why. What's going on? Give me a minute.
I just had a recording of myself.
No, you're recorded, and I just couldn't hear you. Hold on a sec. My Bluetooth kicked me out, so I couldn't hear. Let me just reset it.
Okay.
Everything you're saying is being recorded.
Yes, I was just playing. Excuse me.
All right. Oh, yeah, I forgot you're... I'm back, Bluetooth.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Ab was just saying this is up-to-date technology.
Seamless, pure
Yes.
Or in the toilet, perhaps.
Now, if you look across the toilet,
can you see that the earth is flat?
That's quite surreal.
Isn't it?
We've got a repeat.
Echo.
Bit of reverb.
Natural toilet.
Okay. Here we are. I'm back.
Beautiful.
Okay, now let's pick up where we left off. I think I came through when I was talking about technology has reached the little people.
Technology has reached the little people. Well, certainly, yes. I mean, we have a principle of like when the printing press came in and the little people started getting books and started getting education.
Yeah.
Perhaps we have a parallel here with the computer age. Yes, and this is very much the state of the art today. So, yes, that's very much going to move. And like you say, there's so much of this is very much the way forward. And it produces, you know, more and more corporate. The corporate, shiny corporate nature of today, isn't it? That's how it is.
But so now we have cameras that can actually zoom in on the horizon and see that the ship has not sunk below the horizon. That's the difference.
Well, I see what you mean. They're predicting, and inevitably it's going to come out about the flat Earth.
Yes.
Like with 9/11. Yes. With 9/11, it had to come out that something was wrong because Building 7 was so conspicuous going down at that time of day, for example, perhaps.
Well, they put that. None of that, I think, was by accident. I think that was just something to grab onto. Again, it doesn't even matter. It's proof that the masses don't care about that angle. They put that in there. There's no. I don't think there's any necessarily accident. I'm 50-50 on Building 7 in that. They could have put that in there deliberately just to see if anyone was paying attention. And lo and behold, all these years later, a few people were paying attention. And lo and behold, it matters not to the general population. So therefore, the test is complete. They know exactly the limits of absurdity that they can push all day long, including putting the words SEX in the latest alleged photo of the Earth from a million miles away. Nobody's looking except a few kooks on the internet. Nobody cares. Move on. These are all tests.
Yeah, I'm probably a very bad example, you know, saying that it was like done, it was an accident and they always said it's going to be found out. Probably, you know, could well have been planned, Building 7, I don't know. But, I've lost my thread, but,
Well, my point is now, again, let's get back to, this Earth thing, because you seem to be interested in it. A lot of people just don't want to look at it. Why do you think that is? Is it wrong for me to look into this as a very advanced skeptic on this planet?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we've got Simon Shack, who we respect very much. I know we both do, for his research, who's saying he's not going there, you know. But he's Simon Shack, and that I can understand that to an extent in his position.
Yeah.
Because there's such a stigma attached to it, isn't there? We know that. So it seems to be one that's actually well enough established to actually put off some good minds, you know. As long as they've got a leader somewhere who's going to say, oh, no, I'm not going there, they won't go there either, perhaps. That is a sort of thought of mine. But I'm not saying, you know, Simon's the sort of fulcrum of that activity. I can understand why he doesn't. I mean, Hoy has said we have to ask questions and have to be open to things. It's really a tester for people. I mean, we had Kay and Argos today, who's a valued, fond friend on the forums, and Kay, who I love, and I've been on the radio show with, who we'd all love here, and does her show.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
She won't go there either. I mean, she won't go there. She'll come down on the side of it. It's kind of definitely a ball, and it's a little bit irritating if you talk about it, and drum your fingers, you know. Perhaps a bit of sense of that, I feel, with people with it.
I agree.
We should definitely not fall out over it here because, you know, we love the evidence and we see how this can work. And this perhaps is why it's been introduced to an extent or pushed or perhaps the negative. I don't know. It's just this is how it works a bit. We see the stigma of flat Earth, how it has been, just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Sorry, I'm not in great form.
I'm okay with looking at it. The audio is very interesting. The people are making interesting arguments. I don't really have an opinion on it right now. I always come from the fact that NASA lies, and now
in the dueling podcast post I put up on fakeologist.com, I did listen to Jeff C., who's been accused of trying to deliberately mislead, and I don't agree with Jeff C. and his assessment of the plane crash over in wherever it was. Drawing a blank right now, where it flew over the elevated expressway. It was clearly fake to me. But Jeff C. and his gang were busy just saying, just because NASA fakes almost everything doesn't mean they fake everything. I tend to believe that NASA does fake everything, and there's almost nothing real that comes out of their camp at all. So, but I wanted to put that podcast as a sense of balance so people can try and draw their own conclusions. I know where my conclusions are tending, and I stated I'm more with the John LeBon way of looking at things. I almost see John LeBon as a kindred soul, in the sense that he seems to reflect a lot of my thinking all the time. Go ahead.
He's quite a rational, clear-thinking guy, and I find it hard to fault a lot of his thought processes, which he does. He's generous enough to share in the way he co-hosts those round tables. He's got potential of a guy with real integrity for me, but at the same time, I have a sense of I don't know, it's a Jewish thing. The language I don't like, really. I think it's bad terminology if we're going to talk about... having a go at the Jews. I think we need to think that we're more like it's the mafia of an organized Jewry, which should be identified. Not, it's so generic, and it's off the, it's such a red herring to talk like that way. I think it puts so, it's so divisive.
I agree.
But that's only that's a criticism, but not that it's constructive criticism, I hope, because I see potential in the guy, in John. I just say, yeah, he's great, isn't he? He's a good guy. It seems, I think, potentially he's,
Yeah, will we lose him in the Jewish divisive rabbit hole?
Oh, he'll prove to be a complete agent. I mean, he'll lead us down somewhere. He's very sophisticated, very smooth. I don't know, because he's doing these round tables. That's the thing that worries me. David Weiss has been questioned. I don't know if he's. Cahan had him on the radio with Hoy, didn't she? She had him on in a program, and they asked you the question. I heard that question asked you. Do you not agree that Mr. Weiss is an agent of some sort, or lying here, or he's exposed, as lying here because he said he knew someone on 9/11. Do you know what I mean? I think that's an important question. Have you addressed that?
I haven't addressed it. This gets into the sheep dippers, where there are real people that could have been involved to try and create authenticity with the 9/11 deception. So I don't know if David Weiss is lying. I really don't. I tend to question anyone more seriously when they don't go along with my 9/11 thesis. It seemed like he was being deceptive with Hoy. I sensed a lot of deception when he was talking to Hoy, sure. But was he somehow linked to... I can't remember exactly what he said that was completely off base. Can you just remind me?
Well, I'm perhaps like you. I haven't gone right into and looked at it and thought of it too much, because I'll continue to listen to David Weiss with an open mind. But he said about he knew someone, a surfing guy, I think. Was that the issue?
And he couldn't name the company. Yeah, everything he was saying there was very suspicious to me. Yeah, he couldn't remember where the guy worked. There's a lot of problems with the story.
The fact he's there anyway, he's always there on all these flat earth things. You know what I mean? He talks a lot of sense. He's there. He's intelligent. He's good. He's having, but he's always there. Don't you think? It's ubiquitous. He's sort of, why always him, it seems? I don't know. Maybe it's my imagination. But, Sergeant. Mark Sargent, what is this clues thing? Clues. Give me a break. That's got to be, he must have seen.
You think that was a direct ripoff of September Clue?
He all of a sudden came on. He said, "Well, this kind of like, oh, suddenly Mark Sargent's there." That seemed obvious to me.
Just come on. If you think about it, I just came on one day and started talking. Everyone has to come on at some point.
Thousands of views, not. Yeah. It took ages. There was me, you, and Kay here for a little while. Just three of us twiddling our thumbs doing a little radio show to each other.
Well, actually, thousands of people do download the show. And by the way, I want to mention, if anyone wants to put in the effort of uploading my show to YouTube, just put some graphics like some of the other people do. Please do it. I don't mind. I started doing it at the beginning. I just got tired of all the millions of things I had to do to get it on the YouTube. But I was going to do it again because I think my account allows for the many hours at once. A lot of accounts are restricted to 15 minutes. But even if you put 15 minutes, the first 15 minutes of the show up, go ahead. If everyone can do it. I don't mind because I think maybe more people will listen. I keep forgetting to mention that to people. Put clips if there's anything interesting in my show, put it on YouTube. Everyone has a channel. Go for it.
Yeah, brother. Spread the word.
Well, that if you can. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, good shout. Good shout. Good idea.
Yeah,
good idea.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
thanks for being there for that.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try and do it again, actually. I'm getting stirred with some more interest in the computer. O'Hallahan kind of coaxed me. I kind of want to buy a kit computer and try and put it together and put Linux on it. And I don't know where I'm going with this thought, but I just got a renewed interest in, we get some Linux software, maybe make some YouTube videos. I don't know. I just like playing around with technology.
Yeah, sure. There may be a way that you can sort of, you feel comfortable getting into something. Big creativity is good as well. It's so satisfying. You can put something together you like the look of, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe, yeah. So if anyone wants to make a YouTube video, put some pretty pictures up of the podcast. Eric Dubay does that a lot. He'll take a podcast and create a YouTube video. It does take many hours. I don't have those hours, but if anyone wants to do it, please do it. That would be great. And spread the word. But no, we're not just talking. My point originally was we're not just talking to ourselves. There are lots of people listening. Thousands actually download the show. I don't know if they listen, but they download it.
There you go. Thousands. Well, that's some. Do you get figures on the people that look on the forums? Do you know who's looking at where and what? What's getting attention?
No, not really. I'm
happy to be a little niche, you know.
Yeah, we're pretty niche. I don't have really good reporting stats. The forum software I use is not the best. I would agree with that. It works. I will have to see what I do.
I like it. I mean, I like it to an extent. I don't mind the forums. I've got very comfortable in the forums. I think the way that it's not a little bit counterintuitive with the answers, the comments on your posts. A little bit. It's a bit weird, isn't it? The way that sort of, I don't know, you have to write the way, but yeah, it's all right.
Tell me what you're one of the biggest users. Just tell me what you like and don't like, and I can maybe get rid of it or change it or find another system.
Could do with a little bit more edit time in the forums. You have no time, but that's one thing that comes straight to my mind, because it used to be a lot longer, and then it just cut it really, really short.
How much time do you have? I don't even know.
About sort of 10 seconds, it feels like. But you get one edit or something. I don't know exactly how it works, actually, Tim. I don't know. It doesn't...
I'll look at it.
And then the comments, I would say, I'm not sure how you could change that. But you know the format where you answer a comment and then you can reply to that comment. Now, it's similar to a thing that's come in on Facebook recently where they didn't used to have it, but now they've introduced you can reply to certain comments. And what it does, it spreads, it dissipates the thread in a way. So you can't, it's difficult to get momentum up on a thread necessarily if it's being dissipated like that. It's a way of going off at angles, like all sort of, like a pillar is off a root or something. It distracts it. Perhaps it cements the very basic, simple, original, nothing message. Boy, I'm talking shit now, but yeah.
Well, you know what? I've never seen a perfect forum for replying, and there's not. I've never seen a good way of doing it because everything's going mobile now. I'm trying to find a solution, and I might have found it. You know how I always like to test new software. I might have found a forum where you can just do replies with email as well, because a lot of people cannot really get a good sense of the forum on a mobile device or a smartphone or a tablet or a phablet. So we're trying to figure out a way to do replies as well. So there is software being developed where you can do it by email. So I'm looking into that.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
No, I don't. Even the regular forums, they're useless for trying to figure out on a tablet. or doing replies. I'm just talking about the forums that are just board forums. And there's just no perfect solution out there for creating these threads. That's what I wanted to tell you. And it's complicated because then there's Facebook. They have their own comments, but I can't bring Facebook comments to my site without giving my passport to Facebook. It's crazy. It's such a scattered mess right now across the internet. I wanted to bring Google comments to my forum, but you can't do that either easily or at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sure. No, I'm not complaining here at all. I mean, it's interesting to hear the problems with it.
If you're complaining. You're a user of the system. You can complain all you want. Don't worry. I like criticism. You're one of the major users. So if you've got something that needs fixing, let me know. I'll try and fix it.
Yeah, sure, mate. No, I know you're there. I could always mail you. I'm not sure there's an easy contact at the moment on the site for you. Is there an email or something? But no, absolutely. I could easily contact you, talk to you.
Even thinking of making, adding a subscribe to the blog where you just get an email and there's a new post.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that would work, I think. Some people like that.
But when you comment on the blog, you can click on email you the replies, right? So you do get the replies in your email, right? I think. Is that right?
No, yeah, that's an option. Definitely. That's an option. I think, yeah.
So you do get an email if someone replies to you. That way you don't have to go back and just look.
Yeah, sure.
That's true?
I'm sure that's there. I don't use it.
You don't use it? Okay.
But yes, I know I'm weird, aren't I, with technology and things. I'm just like...
Well, we all use it differently. The fact that you use it at all is very unusual. Most people don't even bother.
We've all got our own angles, our strengths in different ways, as we've said before. Yeah, I just said, it must be something else interesting to talk about. Anything further.
Where do you fall on this whole debate? What's your thought?
Well, I think if we look at it, it's just an interesting exercise theoretically to look at if they did con us about the ball, that it is a ball. Then when you start really looking at it, it seems very likely that, well, it's in our faces, in our news, Prison Planet, Global Research, these globes, everywhere, these balls, and then our television for years with this spinning ball, and you suddenly start to think, oh my God, yeah, so obvious a thing for to have been lied about. Almost.
Is it important
it seems
to you?
Obvious. Sorry.
Do you think it's important to know? Well, a lot of people are saying, "Oh, I don't care if I'm sitting on a piece of cheese; it doesn't matter to me."
It's absurd. No, of course it does, in a sense, because we see why it's done. It's just sort of take away some true nature. It's hijacking nature, and the truth is that real nature is fantastic. Because if you want to control people, you don't want them to feel extra fantastic. So you just sort of tweak nature a little bit and give them that version of it, and they've got to live with that. That's not satisfying. That's why I went my whole life trying to look for the truth, because I knew it wasn't right, not enough, what we were being given wasn't satisfactory. And then the wonderful truth is when you actually get the truth, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. So it is important, because a lot of the things that we're told about the ball earth are in direct contradiction to what we perceive. So if they can get away with that, that's my thought. If they can get away with telling us we're not seeing what we think we see in so many aspects of the ball earth, then that just proves that they can tell us anything and get away with it, including 9/11.
Well, with time and with
that's why it's
assertion.
Important. That's why it's important, I think. That's why it's
absolutely
important. Okay,
they're writing...
They can tell you what they want. Yeah. And they back
it up with
massive media.
They told us we're on a ball, so it's probably bullshit, isn't it? We're probably not.
Yeah. I mean, one basic thing that has been brought up on the last Baller Skeptic Roundtable is the fact that if I am sitting up, pointed up on this side of the earth, then that should mean that someone on the other side of the ball is hanging down. I always thought that was strange. How can they be upside down and I be right side up at the same and not fall off? So we all be right side up.
You're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, you see. That's why. And it's all relative. And you're all inside the atmosphere, so it feels like you're standing on the Earth, you see. So can you get that all in your head and rationalize that, please?
There's so much. I have so much difficulty with all those statements that we're spinning, but we can't feel it. But if we're spinning, why don't we have any images of the spinning ball from Earth? Didn't anyone want to take a video camera up? Wouldn't the, if the ISS existed, and it is, they say, only 400 kilometers up, wouldn't they see some spinning, even if they can't get the whole Earth in the damn viewfinder? Come on. Wouldn't there be some spinning?
They got fuck all. They haven't got anything. I mean, well, really, apart from these sort of artistic impressions and composite sort of things, I don't really even study what the ISS have got of the spinning Earth, but every time I've seen a few of these kind of like stop frame things that do show it turning a bit, don't they? I don't know, but it's all animation.
I don't know.
I don't see it.
I can take a picture of a merry-go-round spinning when I'm 1 foot away. Yeah, I can't get the whole merry-go-round in, but I can get most of it in when I'm standing 2 or 3 feet away from it. So why can't the ISS get a piece of the Earth spinning? What the hell's going on?
It's absurd. And the pictures, they brought out another one the other day, didn't they, for the first time.
That's it.
1972 with a Hasselblad camera from behind glass from 28,000 miles, the blue marble. They can't get away from it now. They're stuck in that lie. They showed us that, so you've got to justify it. So they just kept only showing us that. And then when they showed us other pictures, they were composites. Is that right? We don't do pictures like that anymore. We're getting these up-to-date composites, which are a little bit vaguer and aren't a real picture. I mean, we've been called conned like that. It's straight simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty fun that that I posted it, and then the guy said, well, the next day NASA put out a new picture, almost like they read the blog. That was quite a compliment. If it could have been true, I know they doubt it, but that's fantastic.
Well, I don't know if it's you that had the idea of the blue marble. I'm sure I'd seen it several times. I'd already been looking at that idea, and Obama had said it. We met David Attenborough. I don't know if you saw that or whatever his name is. And he said it in that. How is the world? He's this naturalist, this environmentalist sort of type. TV presenter of you probably know him, but British guy from a family of media Attenboroughs. But bless him. So Obama was on there with him saying, what about our blue marble? Our blue marble. And I thought, oh yeah, you know, it's he's promoting that. It's that, you know, I got that spooky feeling. I thought, oh my God, you know, it's trendy talking about this. People are talking about it. Next thing, the picture comes up from NASA. They've got, and they said it from a million miles away this time, didn't they? Composite of three images. It's absolutely absurd. Why do you need to go to a million miles away and take a picture of the Earth when you could take one from 28,000 miles away quite happily? I mean, in 1972, with a normal camera, with one shot, you know, I mean, it's crazy.
It is. And the Pluto thing, the Pluto nonsense is just over the top silly. Silly. Surely people can see that. Completely silly.
I think, in a way, that is part of how the con works, does it not? Because it's so in your face that
so
joke thing keeps a lot of people away from believing it because they don't want to be a fool to that much of an extent.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, the Pluto and just drawing in the nose and the eyes of Pluto onto that outline that really looked like Pluto's head, that's just the icing on the insulting cake, really. It's just, how can regular people accept that?
Well, sometimes you think, is there going to be a revelation at some point? You know, is NASA set up to be brought down? Did the moon landings come out as a hoax, as perhaps someone suggested one time? Ray West, I heard, remember him saying. You know, he said it might be, you know, that's the one that's let out, said Ray West. The moon hoax has been long sort of let out a bit. Clinton in his autobiography is mentioning it, you know, so perhaps in the long-term view he won't look stupid, you know.
Yeah, maybe that's his great admission. Well, the other thing I like to follow and comes up all the time is Zach Hubbard thinks that today is Obama's last day. He's over in Kenya in a very dangerous place, according to the CNN headlines. There's Zach keeps predicting that Obama is going to have a fake assassination. So I'm That's always in my mind. And the other thing is, Zach was saying that the Hoover Dam is going to be blown up as part of a terror drill slash hoax, psyop hoax. I think those are sort of far-fetched, but in some ways I think they're not bad ideas in terms of possibilities.
Well, I could say that I think they're going to fake the Queen's death over here in England at some point. I don't think she'll die naturally. She's 89 or so now. I think, I could tell you that, and that'll happen sometime, but I don't know when exactly. It will probably go with the numbers. Do you know what I mean? Because if you're writing history, you can put them in. Zach sees a lot of these things, these patterns and things. It makes a lot of sense. Smokes a lot of weed, gets a lot, but very excited, and he's got youthful energy. And he's quite amusing to look at his stuff at times. And I think it's not that bad an idea, is it, in Kenya, Obama in Kenya stage thing. It could happen, but, I'm not going to get there. Right, it's just fantasy to an extent, or conjecture.
Yeah. Predictions are a bad idea, aren't they? Yeah.
These predictions like this, exactly. I mean, it could definitely happen at some point, but, and the numbers do, they're incredible. You can feel like you've got validation all the time in numbers, which is why the, Pythagorean bullshit works, I think, really.
Yeah.
You can make the numbers fit.
And that's true. If there isn't one gematria that you like, you can choose another.
Yeah, baby. Make them fit. It's a miracle. I need 2 minutes. Can you give me that? Do you want to carry on?
No, go.
Yeah?
No, we go silent on audio chat. It just clips out the silent bits. Go. Go do what you have to do. I'll wait.
Be right back, cheers.
All right, 3, 2, 1, 2.
Okay, I'm back in the room.
Yeah. Before you sounded a lot better. Were you on your headset?
Earlier. Do I sound worse now?
Well, no, I hear myself a little bit. Yeah, you sound a little more muffled.
Whatsoever this end.
Oh, okay. You sounded so much clearer. It's probably my end. I just wanted to know because I was hearing an echo before, but now I don't. So it's okay.
Yeah, it seems to be possibly coming from your end. It all sounds like, you're on the road and it's all a bit... and it goes a bit,
Yeah.
Mine seems... I don't know. I haven't got a clue, but maybe not. Maybe your end, mine sounds terrible. I don't know.
No. If you're on your computer, you will sound better automatically. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said something earlier about the lens of the eye. I thought was interesting, and then the curvature of it, and how nature mimics. The science mimics nature in a way. It tries to take control of it, but the internet's like must be mimicking nature in a way of how there's kind of like. Yeah, we're all computers. There's this energy that just has all this intelligence that different computers tap into. I thought that was quite a nice sort of. That's what we're.
Well, doing. I was just thinking about the shape of the eye being a sphere. Would that have any influence on what we saw, for instance, on a horizon? That was my only thought. We can obviously only see so far, anyway.
Exactly, and your periphery vision. To a certain distance, one way is different from it. It's a circle. It is a semicircle, isn't it? It is a circle. That vision we look out, you can see so far in one direction until you turn.
Yeah,
it is a circle, turning circle.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
That was my only thought, but there's refraction and mirages and all that kind of stuff too.
It would be incredibly intuitive because it buys into that natural thing of the circle thing. Yeah. Sorry, I'm probably not expressing myself very well at all, Tim. All right, mate. Yeah, enjoy. Thanks for having me anyway. Talking shit.
Oh, you're talking just fine.
Sorry, a bit manic, just sort of trying to do things here. I can't have hands free when I've got,
go ahead and do things. This is the audio chat. We know it. Now
yeah,
I hear
sure.
myself.
Do you edit this, do you? Do you trim it up and cut out the blank bits? You don't just, because raw, it would be a bit boring sometimes, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, the blank bits will just go. I'll clip those out automatically. No big deal. If you want to go silent and just say a thought, that's fine. Any other research? Oh, let's talk about your old chum, Psyoptifical, for a bit.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't directly responded to any of the questions yet. If you're listening to Psyopticon, let's get some responses. People want answers. Zyle Felix and Tom, they both want some direct responses, if you could.
Well, how did it happen then? You said, he contacted you to trim up some innocuous post. Now, come on. Okay,
yes,
so what post
true.
Was that? What post was
it
that?
Was the what one, was it was something about the gypsies. He wanted me to take a disparaging word of the gypsies out. And he just, it was something like that. So I obliged. And the post wasn't really anything special, I didn't think. I didn't even remember the post from last year.
No. That's interesting, and it's fair enough, I think. You know, I can understand. You know, it's...
I took the gypsy post. I took it out, and he was very... he didn't say anything rude, and so I just said, could you please get rid of all your Tavistock Tim posts, which I thought were... They don't bother me. I don't care. You can call me whatever you want, but I just found them kind of silly. I think it was on Let's Roll forum, so he said he would take them out. I haven't even looked over there to see if he did, but he said he did. And I just said, in reality, as misleading as people think you are, you do have more in common with us than with the outside world, because you look at this stuff, whereas I've said before, most of the world doesn't look at this stuff anyway.
Sure.
So
yeah,
no,
I got that
point. Is there any real point in fighting? Yeah, okay, we can. I just, even the flat Earth thing, everyone is calling everyone a shill. It's out of control. Okay, I don't know who's the shill. I don't know who's paid and who's not. Nobody can prove any of that. I think you just have to put the idea in everyone's mind, and nobody has to be paid. If you just put doubt in everyone's mind, and all they're doing is playing mind games with the people, then they'll eat each other up for lunch, won't they?
Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah, that works, I reckon.
If we have 10 people in a room, and I just introduce the idea as the military advisor that somebody in here is stealing lunches, can't tell who it is, we are going to be guarding our lunches every day, all day long. We're going to be examining our lunches in a way we wouldn't have bothered. Just introducing the idea creates such a paranoia amongst the group that should be somewhat together on many issues.
Oh yeah, I mean it just shows you how, you know, group dynamics, how you can stir things up quite easily with a PSYOP, which is why these PSYOPs are done, isn't it? That's on a micro scale. On a big scale, it works exactly the same, doesn't it, Tim? Yes.
Yeah, and they don't need to pay anybody. They don't need to pay anybody. No one has to be paid. They just introduce this kooky idea that somebody can't be trusted.
And then the whole system runs around that and works for it, and everyone else is innocent, and they're working for the PSYOP. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, then everyone is just missing the point the whole time, all the time, and they get their way where we can't get our message out. So it's, because I'm pretty convinced that if someone comes to our way of thinking, it's just on their own. There's almost nothing we can do to flip people over to our way of thinking.
It really isn't. Education, well, where are you going to start? You know, they've got that tied up, you know.
yeah, they got our youth. They got the youth.
I mean, are we impotent? No, we're not, of course. I mean, they understand fully the idea of perhaps sort of little ground surf. When I was younger, I wrote a song called And in England They're Going Mental, and it was about... It was a mad sort of song, and it was supposed to be like news items were coming in and through the radio, nonsense from around the world. I said, in Hiroshima about 40 years ago, a bomb was dropped and a man was seriously injured. And in England, they're going mental. And it went, the drum roll, massive punky chorus, I think. We went crazy and screamed jumped around all over the place. But anyway, I did that song and performed it, and I threw myself into that like a nutter, an absolute idiot. I was a complete idiot. I mean, I still am, I mean, really. I'm an idiot. I couldn't help myself with my energy showing off or whatever I'm doing. But, with this kind of frustration of youth, with this kind of sort of vague political idea in my head of like they're going mental and this is nonsense, this rubbish we hear on the news all the time, this bullshit. So then the word came into the popular vernacular over here, like a few years later. It sort of just evolved into the popular vernacular. So people would then say, oh, we're going mental. In relation to these events sort of things, you know. So, what am I trying to say? I put a word into the popular vernacular in a sense, and that was just natural, you know. It was real. I can see how
you
that
brought
happened.
The word that's mental into the population.
No,
that was
no.
You.
No, absolute nonsense. Yeah, is it? Yeah, oh, it's a subtle point, really.
No, I am okay.
Sure you do, Tim. I've got a headache now trying to explain. I hate talking about myself, really. I don't want to, but cut it out. I prefer if you did.
Let's talk about
Psyopticon
then.
Cut the fucker out. Don't talk about it. But yeah, it doesn't come.
You cut out 2212. There you are.
Cut that bit out. I think it's probably bollocks. I lost my track. So you want to talk about Psyopticon?
Are you for or against his reintroduction? He hasn't really said anything since he's been back anyway.
No. It's funny your reaction. You see, because from my point of view, he's clearly an operative, an agent in this. And let's talk about specifics, which you wanted to do in the program this evening, which perhaps this will serve the purposes of, because I perhaps won't be able to later. I don't know. But yeah, perhaps I can't be there. Unless people are there, I'll try and get on Skype, but I haven't got it, Tim. But anyway, Psyopticon, yes, okay. I've done research with Psyopticon. He's been on this site for, say, he was on some site for some time. And then I became aware, having done that intimate sort of, had a certain intimacy relationship with him, that he was attaching straw men to my research, my original research. Which was really quite original. Looking at something like Hillsborough, I know you don't follow it in Canada, but Hillsborough was a big football op in this country, and hadn't really been talked about at all. And I brought the question up, and Zelefelex and I were, and Psyopticon were talking about it. He was there as well. You know, he's been on this site right from the start. Back on the Aberato days, he was one of the first sort of 10 people on Facebook or whatever with me. And I looked, and there was this English guy, and there was this sense of this little frisson I had, and I thought, he's got to be an agent of some sort. I bet he is. You know, I just did. I just thought, is he the English one? Or is he my friend? You know, this guy knows about stuff anyway, I bet, you know, because he's here. It's really interesting. But, and so I go kind of fond of Psyopticon, where he came up with some interesting things. And, you know, then we had a laugh about things and his writing style was fun. We could have some fun. But I just eventually got the idea of what was going on. You know, eventually it came out and the audio chat started coming in. I started hearing him talking nonsense about Jimi Hendrix, which was just going too far. It was crap.
Oh yeah, now that's coming back to me. Yeah, I remember that.
And he detached the straw men to my Hillsborough research. He said it was all fake. That they'd evacuated the stadium. And you know, it was all right. It was wrong though. You know, because if people were there in the stadium, there's 50,000 witnesses to that know. You know, then, and there's a real straw man, because he was saying, no, they evacuated the whole stadium and faked the whole game. It's all fake, you know. And that was,
I see.
That's your tactic. So, you know, and it was clear. And it wasn't just that. It was other things. As I said, it was absurd, the Hendrix stuff. You know, you're starting to get to a point of like, you know, the one guy sucked.
No, that's fair. That's fair. So, and hopefully, did he ever address that?
No, he'd avoided it.
Okay.
He'd sort of say, you see a Mountbatten case, right? You got this Mountbatten. I said, right, Mountbatten, Lord Mountbatten, a famous British guy, a military diplomat, a naval guy, who was killed by the IRA, a terrorist event in 1979, very famously, big state funeral, you know, big moment in the IRA maneuverings. So obviously this is propaganda, it seems now to us. And I went back and looked at it and said, did Dickie Dupas, did he fake it? And, you know, and he would have then still been alive and, you know, carried on his life somewhere else. He would have been effectively this idea that people would do that, you know, and live another life for carrying on, which I assume Dickie would do. He's a real joker by all accounts. And, you know, I bet he would have loved that, you know, it's a real naval maneuver, but he could have watched his own state funeral. But then Psyopticon, sorry, I get to the point. He came straight on to that when he came on. He said, oh, I was interested in Tom on the forums there with his, that's right where I am with the Lord with the Dickie Mountbatten thing. But then he comes in with his thing. Yes, of course, I was always thinking that, yes, like Dickie, the blah, blah, blahs could have just died of natural causes. And then their deaths were all faked. And so it's subtle, but what he said there is that he died of natural causes. He could have just croaked of natural causes and they faked their deaths. So that's his angle. Straight away, we see something that could easily be proven wrong. Because if people were there, I'm saying he was there in Ireland before he was bombed and people could see him doing it. So he was, you know, these witnesses are there. They're genuine, real people, like you're saying, that was actually witnessed an op. Therefore, it gives it validity. It's a straw man argument. He said he's saying Mountbatten died of natural causes and then they faked the death. They arranged them like that. Okay, so It's very simple, but it's just it's the way he steers it. Sorry.
No, I understand. That's interesting. No, have you ever talked to him directly on the audio chat?
No, I don't think so. I don't. We talked on Skype. He was there on Skype, and I sort of said words to hello. And I bet we'd have a sort of a weird sort of conversation. We could have a laugh, really. But I know, I feel sure that he's, you know, I think a few of us around here do, and it's quite obvious, you know, his activity with all this sort of nonsense about, you know, Tavistock Tim. Do you think he's just this sort of eccentric, the crazy guy? But, you know, I think he must be for some, he must be an agent of obfuscation of some sort.
Right. Do you think he's a paid agent, really?
Oh, absolutely, Tim. Yes, I think so, yes. I thought he was military. I thought he worked for the military. You know, that's what I thought.
Well, that's fair. I wouldn't mind having him just chat with you directly. I think, were you on the call last August when the whole voice morphing thing was blowing up?
Oh, the legendary seven-hour audio. That one. No, I wasn't on that. I listened to that. I've listened to that a few times. Oh, my God.
I'll wax you, Peter. I'll wax you. I'd wax you.
There you are, cunt. But you see, you're a fucking cunt. I mean, he really got angry. But he, you see, you gave him a chance to apologise. And to an extent, I think that's fair enough. You know, he said, I've got an issue with alcohol. And it takes something for a man to say that. And I have, to be honest. And blah, blah, blah. You know, I've been drunk for 6 years. But, I mean, it can make
Say
that. Well, you know, you said, God, there's a lot of drink going on there. That was your first comment afterwards. But I think really he was exposed there. You know, I think just his reaction was just too much.
Right.
I think he gave himself
away. Well, maybe it would be interesting to have you guys on a quick call and discuss things, to hash it out. And that would be interesting, I think. Would you be up for that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, really, what I'd like to ask him is, you know, because he knows more than me, you know, what's going on? You know, where do we go with this? You know, I mean, don't you think we'd have a philosophical discussion with him, you know, with the premise that he and I, we know what kind of going on. That's what I think. I don't think he'll go there because it would easily be exposed. He just does not want to go there, that Mountbatten faked his death and then, you know, lived on for 10 years or something, could have done that. Because that then, you know, I think, yeah, they want to keep that, they'd spin it that
okay.
way, for example.
Well, it would be fun to hear you all talk. That would be interesting if you could do that.
Be interesting, definitely, wouldn't it? That's why I said, yeah, I'm up for it, sort of thing. I mean, I haven't eaten anything for, like, all day, and I'm just sort of like, I don't feel I'm being very interesting on here, or relaxed. I don't feel that relaxed, but, Yeah, it'd be nice to. You know, it's nice to be entertaining on the radio, that's all. You know, that's, yeah.
Oh, no, you're entertaining. You're a fakeologist, so you're entertaining by default, in my mind.
I've done a lot of research on this site, and...
Yes, you have. You've been very valuable, very
stuff.
Valuable. No, I appreciate it. I can't verify any of it, but that's okay. Others can look into
we got
as well.
Simon Shack posted our thread on the Seuss op the other day.
Sorry about that, Dal. I got
interrupted there. Go ahead.
Sounds like you're in a lorry. I always imagine you going down some motorway somewhere, you know, in a lorry, looking out the window.
Yeah, not right now. I'm just in a parking lot getting phone calls. At this time of the day, it's ridiculous. Oh, who joined us? Who's that?
Errol C.
Errol C. Welcome, Errol. Errol?
Hi, I'm Errol C.
I know you're Errol because you're a verified user.
He's not got his mic up and running. Reboot, reboot, unplug, plug in again.
Oh, that was you that said that. I thought it was Errol.
Errol C.
Yeah, I was mimicking his voice, his thing he did for your show.
Oh, Errol C, your mic is open, but nothing's coming through. We know it's your end because we sound great.
Oh, yes, we sound lovely.
What's he saying in the chat? I just heard a chat noise.
Okay, I'll have a look.
He's working on it says. Now you keep working on it.
Yeah, so the Psyopticon thing, I just think that, I don't know if you read what Simon put. Did you read Super Clue? Simon mentioned it, brought it up, and just had a little look at his activity. It was just very, very strange, you know. And he's calling...
Yeah, I know. I know, he doesn't like it. I know, Simon said that.
Well, then he's talking glowingly about clues when he's talking to you on the audio the other day. No? And I even thought he might be putting a straw man in your head, maybe there, when he was telling to you about wind turbines. He was saying, oh, I got the thought they might be might be powered. And then you see, we'd all of a sudden, we'd be going around saying, yeah, wind turbines are powered. They're not really. And then you, well, so you
have,
knew.
No, no,
knew.
I have. No, no, I have no doubt they have power going to them. Because
exactly. No, you just batted that off easily because you're intelligent and you looked at it and you found out they're bloody powered. And isn't that just a fucking ironic, you know, or
well,
whatever?
I don't think that, yeah, I think the wind, they have to be powered because they have to keep spinning if the wind doesn't blow because otherwise they'll cease. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it does make sense. But you see, he was sort of saying, I think he's more intelligent than that. I think he knows that that's true as well. But he's sort of saying, I was up there and I was looking across where the Beatles were in Liverpool and, you know, trying to set the scene for you. Yeah, and then he said, and then I was looking up at these things and they seemed all thin and they were going round and, you know, and I was thinking they might be, you know, they got powered or something. And you batted it off by saying, yeah, oh yeah, they are. They got, look, they have to be. It makes sense. Mechanically, you know, they need to be, you know, blah, blah. So you batted that off and I just thought, oh, I wonder, that's the kind of thing I think. I really think that perhaps was he was trying to introduce a false idea because I can just see he just does. That's what he does. I think some of us can see it.
Okay.
Some of us can see it. And some of us just, you know, we're looking for other things. You don't mind. It's in a way like why you post all these different YouTubes, I think, sometimes on your site because you don't mind. People can say what they like. You'll listen to it. It's interesting. You take it in. Do you know what I mean? You're not really suspicious of people like that, are you? You I like that about
well,
you. It's kind of innocence, which you should, would long may it live.
No, I am suspicious of everyone, actually. Maybe I'm just not suspicious in the right way. That's why I put it up there. If you guys want to bat it around, I trust a lot of the people on the forum, so go for it.
Can you hear me now?
As long as you're doing it with your in a good spirit, I've no problem.
Yeah, I think I hear Harold C. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Number nine.
Hi, I've only got 5 minutes.
Let's use it wisely then. We'll let you do all the talking. I'll shut up. Go.
It's about Slapticon.
Go. Say whatever you want. You can talk about whatever you want. This is the audio
think
chat.
I think a lot of people are suspicious, but I think give him another chance. He sounded repentant to me and I don't know. I didn't think he was doing the voice morphing back then, so perhaps this was all a big misunderstanding or over-suspicious people that think everything
that,
we're doing
is
being watched.
But Tom has left some very concrete examples of why he thinks there's a problem, not with the voice morphing necessarily, but with some of the posts.
Yes, with specific evidence, Arrow. With specific evidence and original research that I've done, he has attached straw man arguments to it and come in with it. And you can call it what you like, really. He started bullshitting or it's on specific points, though, where we can pull him up. I can pull him up on that.
Well, I'll have to read the posts you put because I saw those posts you made and I didn't really read them in detail. So I'd have to go over that. To be honest, I haven't read much of that. But I'm just going from my experience because I chatted with him once and I never actually talked to him, but then I heard all the controversy about his voice morphing, etc. And I never heard the morphing in the audio.
That
like
could
I said,
have been
so,
a straw man. Is that possible?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, it's funny. I mean, who brought that into it? It was something that Banazir did or Peter did, and then he played it to Hoy.
Yeah, it was Peter.
He played it to Hoy. Peter, and it sort of sounded like a different voice. Well, to be honest with you, this audio chat can sound like flipping anything. We had it earlier on, it sounded like in a toilet anyway, so that was irrelevant to me.
Yeah.
You call it what you want, red herring or something, you know, I mean, it's tailor-made for obfuscation, this format, if you want to get lost in that. Do you know what I mean? I haven't got time, you know, let's just talk. So, and listen to what people are saying. So that wasn't the issue with me at all. So that night was...
It was also people suggesting it to you, saying, listen to this and listen for the voice morphing. If you weren't told it was there, you wouldn't hear it.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the point. But it's interesting to talk about it. I mean, all you, as I was saying, just saying to add, if you're just coming here being honest and genuine, which I truly believe you are, that's great You know, that's all we need. We can just talk to each other mm-hmm. and see how we see things. I can say specifically, I've got this evidence, right. and I think I feel strongly enough.
I got one other theory about all this too, about people that obstruct. I remember when I was much younger, there was a cable access show. Yeah, you know what that is, Tom? I think Errol knows what it is.
Yeah, did Bill Hicks do a bit of that, or was it Alex Jones or something?
Yeah, originally? Anybody could go on that was vetted by the cable. If you had a show, you could apply to get on the air and talk. And that's how I think some pretty girls thought they could get on, be a newscaster, and they would use that to try and create a demo tape. Anyway, the point is, some guy had a computer show that I used to watch, and people used to call in. It was a call-in show. People used to call in and be crank callers, and he was such a deadpan serious guy. It was funny watching him. Oh, can you turn your volume down? I'm echoing like crazy.
Sound like, I don't know, the soundtrack to Police Squad or something.
No, somebody's echoing. I guess it's Errol C. Errol C is...
Yeah, I think it's me. Let me mute.
Yeah, anyway. Oh, boy. That was awful. Anyway, the point is, people used to call in and crank call the guy, and it was just fun watching his reaction because he was so serious he didn't know what to do because he was on television, tele-live-vision, you see. So is it possible that people come into the forums just to be a shit disturber and they're not really intelligent? They're just trying to stir up the pot because we know... They know everyone's so sensitive, paranoid.
I was telling somebody that some people are just loners, or they don't have many friends, so they go on these sites and cause trouble because they're attention seekers, or they're seeking for attention. Just like people go to the doctor, they're not even sick because they just want somebody to talk to. I'm not saying that's him, but there are people like that.
Yes, that's so true. I just had that discussion with my physiotherapist yesterday. He said, you wouldn't believe the head cases I have coming in. I said, why? What is it? Oh, they're lonely. They just want to talk. You know, I put my hands on them to fix them. They think I'm a god. Those aren't exactly his words, but I got the idea.
The people in the white coats.
And plus, the public first might pay for them, so it doesn't cost them anything to go see that doctor anyway.
Exactly. Or it could be your Tim Hortons server. Somebody to listen to you.
Even a waitress. Waitresses get this, too.
Yeah.
There are a lot of lonely people out there. There are a lot of lonely people.
No, there's plenty.
So that's one way of looking at it. One way of looking at it. So I don't know what... I'd say give him a chance.
I'm not sure you can point to... Sorry, Errol. I don't mean to interrupt. I just think we can point to specific things here, you know, with people on the forum, and just say, well, this is this certain person... This is what we think, what's going on. That's specific
and Tom,
evidence.
And Tom has specific things, but we cannot discount what Tom has to say, because Tom is a very serious person at the forum, and he puts in a lot of research, and he's saying that Psiopticon is deliberately creating these arguments to disrupt.
Yeah, I guess I have to go now, but I'll just say I'll look at what you posted, Tom, and really go over it, and... look at everybody's comments again, and I'll rethink. But right now, I think give him a chance. But of course, he's already got this is second chance, so obviously Ab's going to be more diligent, right?
But there was the likes and the dislikes that when he was around, it was clear that his presence and that stirring up would have created an incident, and there was the hand of Psiopticon was there. Did you not see that as a problem, Arrow?
That is a problem,
thing,
yeah.
Wasn't it? That was him, wasn't it? I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
Got scared off, but look, mate, you said you've got to go probably, so I appreciate you just coming on candidly and talking, man. And how's your wife? She all right? The Filipino lady?
She's great, yeah. Yeah, she's fine. No problem, yeah.
Family's all right. My daughter and my wife, they're all right as well, yeah.
Well, that's good.
My new mechanic, he just told me he's married to a Filipina as well.
Well, there you go.
He wants to go back home, but he doesn't want to go over there. It's too much money. Do you have any tips for him about how to get from Toronto to Manila on the cheap?
There is no cheap. The average cost is $1,200 to $1,600. depending on the airline.
Yeah, that's
and
what
the
he
day
said.
You go.
That's what he said. And
there's
he
no
said,
way around
that's
it.
What I said.
Dear, what's the
not
cheapest
even Air
ticket
Malaysia?
To the Philippines? Hold on. I'm asking my wife, what's the cheapest ticket to the Philippines?
1100 low season.
1100 low season.
Okay. Well, that's why he can't. He
okay. Has... I'm going to check okay. out, but I emailed you an MP3 file, Ab, that Contreras and I did a short podcast yesterday on TeamSpeak, but we did it in the lobby.
Oh, okay. But you recorded
it? I emailed you the file. We recorded it in the lobby. We didn't go live.
Okay.
He has a few things to say that he didn't want recorded, and then we recorded afterwards. And
you mean you left
so
out the
I sent you the file. Yeah, we left out the good stuff.
All right.
So if you want to post it.
Contreras again?
Dave Contreras. You did a podcast with him about 2 months ago. He does the Out of Darkness.
Yeah, Dave Eager. Dave Eager,
Dave Eager,
okay,
yeah.
Let me see if I got that email, because my email server changed, and I'm trying to find it. Let me make sure I got it. When did you send
it? I sent it about 10 minutes ago, but I gave you a download link.
Okay.
You have to download it from a server, because it won't fit in the email. It's a 39-megabyte file. It's only 40 minutes long, but you can post it as an audio chat if you want. Anyway, nice to talk to you guys. I got to go. Sunday
cheers,
morning
man.
Stuff. Cool all right, guys. Cheers. Cheers. Yeah, all the best. Talk to you later. Mabuhay.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry.
Hey, Aral went out with a nice, with those dulcet tones. He gave us a mabuhay. Mabuhay. Hey.
Am I coming through clearly? I don't know. I want to know.
Well, you are now.
Now it's clear?
That's fine
okay.
now, yeah.
Now you sound better. Yeah, I'd like to hear from RLC, and what a great idea. You guys can record with TeamSpeak quite easily. There's a button in there. Send me the file. He sent me the file on sendspace.com. Sendspace.com. You don't need a way to send something
okay.
by a large file. Sendspace.com.
I went into it. I'd go into TeamSpeak, and I wouldn't know how to record myself. Or if, even if I'd had permission to go in there to record myself.
Oh, no, there's a record button. I don't have... I'm not on my computer right now, but, yeah, there's a record somewhere.
So where do I go? What lobby do I go? Where do I go?
Actually
go out
put
the lobby
button.
Into somewhere? Do I have to go into a room to do that?
No, you don't have to go anywhere. No. You can do it wherever you are.
So
okay. There's a button on top.
So I need
go to the
to
top
connect.
Of your screen and look somewhere.
Don't even need to connect to you with this. What I normally do, the connections thing. I can just record.
You can just record. Yeah, you don't even have to be in a room, as far as I know.
Yeah, sure. I'll have a look at that. It could be interesting. It could be nice to do sometime. I like a bit of audio recording, as you know, Rob.
Yeah, try it out.
Yeah.
Try it out if you can find it.
Yeah, sure. So I'll try and give it a go. Yeah. So, were you going to have a show tonight, were you? Because you clearly had some intention of having some kind of, yeah. Have you got anyone else lined up? Is anyone else saying they're doing it?
No, I don't have a show for today because I'm going to go to, if anyone wants to join me, I'm going to be at the Canadian Open, a golf tournament.
Hey.
I'm not in it, but I'm going to be, I'm going to be watching it. And, a Canadian might actually win it. For the first time in generations. Unlikely, but it's possible.
Well, there you go. Now, if that's the big story, do you think they can fix golf like that? What do you think there? I just sometimes wonder if just a flight of fancy.
I don't know.
I don't know
if there's a lot of betting on golf.
I don't know.
I'm going to say no off the top. I'm going to say no off the top of my head. A lot of gambling. I think money drives a lot of the betting.
Yeah, it's interesting with Tiger Woods, his profile, that he was such an exceptional player. And, interesting. Obvious natural
was that
talent.
The only thing I want to ask about Tiger was the story around his wife. The only thing that I might ask about him. I think he has a real talent, though. I don't think there's any way to fake that.
No. I like, golf tournament. Yeah, that'd be all right. Golf, that would be, I play golf. I like sport. I'm quite sporty, actually, really. When I was growing up. A lot, yeah. Yeah.
Sporty Spice.
Yeah, I'm rubbish at golf. But having said that, you know, I've hit a hole in one or something once. It was ideal. No, it's a second shot, on a long par four.
Is that right? You got a, that's called an eagle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's where I'll be.
On a big, on a grind.
By the time I get, by the time I get back, I will be probably thoroughly burned, dehydrated, and not interested in doing anything. So, it's a possibility if I get home early. But usually the winners show up at the end around 5 or 6 o'clock p.m.
Yes,
so I'm not. As far as I know, I won't be making it back on time.
Yeah, that wouldn't. Yeah, that wouldn't time with your timing for 7:11 to show. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, it was nice.
No,
to
it is summertime,
now, anyway.
And we should enjoy ourselves outside. That's what I love about the summer.
Well, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's lovely. You wouldn't believe how bad the weather is. Well, I say bad. It's so wet and quite cool over here in England right now. Really damp.
I'm sorry
gray.
About that.
Really grey.
By the way, I saw your Prime Minister speaking about terror at some youth thing that was hosted or highlighted on the No Agenda show. I don't know if you saw the post on fakeologist.com about that.
Oh, God, yes. He's talking about it. Yes, the space program.
Was it, well, yeah, I talked
no,
about
the space program.
Yeah, I was in that same post. You're right. I put your buddy David Cameron on the bottom of that post. Boy, he's really fully subscribed to this terror meme and the Muslim thing. Wow.
Oh yeah, I mean he's been groomed since the bully. They were the Bullingdon boys. There's three guys basically in government who were groomed for came through Oxford, a university, and had this club, the Bullingdon Club, where they used to have meals. And you've probably heard this stuff. And then it had traditions of going out and sort of wrecking rooms or something. They'd wreck restaurants or something. It's riotous behaviour, and it was just the Bullingdon boys. So yeah, they're long time. I suppose a little bit like the you'd think of the Bushes and. The old school, sort of old school Thai British power of the right slightly to the, you know, these conservatives. And so, yeah, very much the old school club. They're all penciled in from a long way ago, long time ago, these boys. Boris Johnson's the Lord Mayor of London and, Osborne's the, minister.
Yeah, it's very irritating, all their talk. Really disturbing, to say the least.
They work hard though, those fuckers. Do you know what I mean? They're working hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're doing their thing. They get paid good money, though.
I
was just talking.
Yeah,
I was just talking to a bricklayer 2 days ago. They work hard.
They do too.
A bricklayer.
They do.
So
they
when
do.
I think of a politician, I don't think of them working hard, especially since.
I think it's quite demanding on them, though, isn't it? We see how they go grey. You look at Obama, and you know, all right, you know, it's good natural aging, but I think it's quite demanding. Every fucking day they've got to be going out and talking this bullshit with passion and trying to, yes, it is indeed. Oh, no, we're going forward in here. And then first thing in the morning, it's like, yes, Prime Minister, we're going to do questions. Oh, thank you very much. Yes, we'll do this today. Now we've got a briefing here. Now you need to say this and this. Okay, right. Yeah, I mean, God, it must be a fucking nightmare.
I'm back.
Hello, mate. I'm quite sensitive. I'm thinking, oh God, this is going to go on the site, isn't it? I'm going to sound, you know, an idiot and terrible because I feel really tired. I'm not really sort of, I'm not too relaxed, but, sorry. I thought you'd left me thinking I was talking crap. That's how negative I think sometimes. Strange bloke.
No. I've been crashed out a couple of times. The system just crashed and then logged me out.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I figured that, I guess. Well, there you go. It's nice to hear Errol.
Yeah, it was nice to hear Errol. What are you, what else are you researching these days?
Well, I just, I've been looking at the football, really, a lot of the football for a few years, so to get to the point where you can see, predict who's going to win, and then you could sort of make an income from it, you know, read the market, really. I'm doing a lot of that, and I think I'm on the verge of sort of a good year with that, hopefully. But it's just, that's long-term, I suppose, feeling. Then I've got looking at, I don't know. There was a drug case that came up in England yesterday. A girl who'd had these over the internet illegally sold DNP or something, and she'd died. And they tell you a horrible, horrible death. I put it on the forum actually. They tell you a horrible story, and it got to my heart because I've got a daughter, and I related to that. And I thought it was a terrible. We've heard these stories for years, these kind of stories. And I looked at that the other day. I thought, oh, you know what? And I looked in, her mum was a chemistry teacher. You know, I got the alarm bells went straight away.
And you see
how society is controlling us. This sort of, I think that's fake as well. I hope it is. I don't know. It just feels like it, you know. again. And I just thought, God, those stories, just one little case like that. You know, she had five daughters, this woman. You know, presumably she perhaps only had four, you know, ever. You never know.
Well, even if it is a lie, is it a bad lie?
Exactly. You could see that. You can just see that would be a sensible lie. You know, it's a practical reasons for it to work. And that's where, yeah, you've the idea of a noble lie. Well, you know, yeah, isn't that how things really work? Don't you need to do a bit of that? You know, the philosophical question, really, isn't it?
Well, you can control the situation. That's what we've learned. You can control the operation if you make it a lie, if you make it all fabricated. The outcome, everything is controlled.
Yes. Yes. Even better, if the whole paradigm is false, then everything within that can be controlled. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, I've heard you say before how stimulating it can be. And you know, that's where I have trouble with it, really, since the internet came in. I've had it since about 2006. But I can spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours at the computer. And, I mean, I think...
Well, and the hours go by so fast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Through to the early hours of the morning and then getting up early as well and carrying on because it's just so compelling sometimes. And I think...
Well, one of the reasons I create blogs and create posts is because if I didn't do that, I'd have no proof of being on the internet and doing anything useful. I would have spent 6 hours with no evidence that I made one contribution.
Yeah, you've got to. It's almost like an honest sort of, no, this is me. This is what I do on here. Yes. That's how I feel. That's how I create. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's my only proof. And I could go for hours and not find one thing. And then at the end of the time, I would say, I have to put something up. Sometimes it's a little weak, but I have to prove that I was doing something useful. So that's sometimes how I think. The audio chat, of course, is one way where we're being constructive, talking about this stuff, so others can do the same and not feel crazy as well.
Yeah, I think, I get great, I love to hear the voices, normal voices talking about these interesting things, you know, all sorts of people. Yeah, it's good to hear. I like it. Thanks for being there, you know, a fakeologist or a radio, you know.
No, I know you avail yourself to fakeologist brilliantly, and I think it's great. So others should as well, and I don't claim I'm right most of the time or any of the time, but I'm an honest inquirer. Let's put it that way.
Yes, that's priceless. So, what was that point I was going to say on something or other? Oh, I don't know.
About Psioptica?
It wasn't about Psioptica. No, but I don't think he'll come back. He did that thing with the flat earth. Did you hear that on the audio as well? He went, and I'd preempted that. I said, look, people they won't go there. If you're going to sound intelligent talking about these things, you can't really go there, I don't think. When you still can't, you explain looking across water and, I don't know. But he just said, oh, I just can't get my head around it. I don't really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he said that, yeah.
Yeah, that's
Well, Jacob. I can't either. I can and I can't. I have the same questions almost everyone does, though. I haven't heard any great answers, but I still think you can still ask questions.
Well, I think we must. I think we're at the point where you could say, yeah, they could well have done that, couldn't they? Any intelligent person has to say that with what we know now.
Oh, yeah.
You have to say, oh my God, yes, I bet they've done that, haven't they? Don't you think? You know, the whole world, that would be we at least have to say that would be a real one, wouldn't it? We've got to think, we can't let that, we can't be, you know, we can't keep not ask a question about that one. No way. No way, surely. And it looks an obvious setup, doesn't it? But I don't know either.
And, I agree. I just watched the movie Hacking Democracy that O'Hallahan recommended. Have you seen that?
I haven't, no, but it sounds, just the title.
Yeah,
it sounds like the Optor thing where the State Department sponsored the Arab Spring. You know, it sounds like that kind of deal.
So Hacking Democracy is just about how they count votes in the United States. I don't know what body supervises vote counting in Britain. In Canada, we have a federal body and a provincial body. In the U.S., they're counties. So it really is as local yokel as you get. And it's basically just showing how lackadaisical, loose, and how the corporations have just moved in and are selling machines that do the job that any human being or group of human beings could just do manually, more slowly. And it's an illustration of how absolutely simplistic it is to manipulate the votes. And
yes, we had a, it gets to the point, I was talking about predicting the football and being a rigged market. It gets to the point we had a general election just this year, and it was obvious who was going to win, you know, from months before. You know, it's just totally manipulated, you know.
Well, it's so easy to manipulate the numbers, according to this movie, at the time anyway, that it's laughable. But I recommend that movie.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, no, I took it as a sort of metaphor or something, the title, yes. But, you know, it's literally hacking democracy.
It's literal. It's literal. Yeah.
No, it sounds, yeah, I mean, that it can be done. You can just, you can, as I say, I knew the Conservatives were going to get in, but they had another referendum in Scotland. Would Scotland go independent? Or, you know, they had a chance, the whole nation to speak, to go independent, have a vote on it. And there was no question in my mind it was going to stay in part of Great Britain. There was no question, but, you know, it's, you know, it was all apparently up for grabs, you know. And up until the last minute, it seemed money. It seems intuitive that actually Scotland would vote to be independent. But no, oh no. It was obvious they weren't going to be. So.
Well, you go watch the movie. It's on YouTube. It's chopped up on YouTube. You can find it. Hacking Democracy, everybody. Go watch that, and you can make some comments if you want on that.
So, yeah, who's going to win the golf then? What's this Canadian's name?
It's David somebody. I can't remember. I don't know golf. I don't know the names.
No, it's
David
fine.
Somebody.
Yeah, I'll have £1,000 on that. Yeah.
Go to PGA.com. You'll find it.
Yeah, I'm joking, but okay, I have to keep an eye out for it. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. So, yeah, I suppose it's morning over there, isn't it? Still, just.
Yeah, it's going to be 30°C here today. It's beautiful. Stunning weather. Not a chemtrail in the sky.
Oh, beautiful. We're about 10 a.m. over in Toronto area.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, I was there in, as you know, I was there in 78. Been a long time. I'll go back there at some time to Canada, but my auntie now lives other side, Vancouver.
You wouldn't recognize the place now. You wouldn't. You just wouldn't.
I'd have to go. I would like to. I really would like to visit Toronto again in, you know, in Duke. I'd say maybe. Maybe I'll give you a call if I get there. I'm in Toronto. Meet me at the bar. Have a coffee. If I do pass through one day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'd love to travel. I'd love to do that.
It's a major, I've never been to London. I like to go there. It's a major commuter route, though. There's a million different airlines that go between here and London.
It's highly doable.
A lot of charters, too. Charters, they're cheaper, too.
Yeah, sure. Then that's very doable. It's just a little bit in the future, just when I'm in a position to do it, perhaps, little way in the future. Yeah, sort of ambitions, look forward to things, be able to travel a bit, maybe. Be nice, too. Yeah. So, well, I don't know.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, to have that freedom would be nice to be able to do that, get in a position to do that. Yeah, so, yeah, feet on the ground, sort of just trying to make a way, really, with all this mayhem going on, really, find a way. I think we have an edge, really, in this world to an extent. Definitely.
I think so.
So, the internet came in 2006, and I studied it for probably seven years or something intently. The true intent for the true cause, you know. And I think if you study something long enough that way, maybe that's why it takes that long to be a doctor or a lawyer or something. But you study something for that long, at the end of it, there's a certain intelligence you have that should be able to make your way in life. So I'd like to think of that as that can happen.
I consider myself a doctor of psychology.
You don't have to go through conventional study, though. Perhaps 7 years studying whatever you want to call it, fakeology or, you know, bullshit. If you're studying it with a true heart and, you know, a true study,
I agree.
I think you can get somewhere.
I absolutely agree with that.
Can get to, yeah. Well, and you know, yes. And perhaps it inspires me to find the truth. And the more I find of it, I find it actually is more inspiring. So if I don't want to be, you lose your fear and find the joy to an extent, with possibly. Don't want to sound too spiritual with it all, you know. But, well.
I'm joyful.
So am I. Yippee! Eating anything all day. I'm terrible.
What else is on fakeologist.com that you like to discuss? Did you look at that lottery picture?
Oh, I didn't. I didn't see the picture. I think, okay, on the lottery, I have been the beneficiary of lottery funding at the time, at one point. So we got funding. So me and my colleague at the time, we ran this business, small business that employed about 7 people. And we got lottery funding because they employed people with special needs. They'd got mental health issues, but they were very capable and they could work. And we had a great little workshop. It was a fantastic atmosphere. It's called a social firm. It was great for years. We got lottery funding. We got £250,000 lottery funding. We had to do it through an agent, an insider, someone that John knew, who's a bit of a wheeler dealer. He knew some people, you know, a bit of a Tory, a little bit. So he got this deal done with the lottery, but we got it and we bought this building. And then we converted it. We got European funding. We converted it. So I've been a beneficiary of like sort of 400,000 or so, to, you know, something getting up towards lots of thousands of pounds of lottery funding. So I know that kind of works. But you then aren't allowed to sell the building for 99 years. So you can't buy it and sell it for profit. And the other thing is I know someone that's won £250,000 on a scratch card. And they lost it in about 6 months, actually, as it happens. But they spent it all. So there's just two stories that I've got. So I know there is a certain amount of reality in it. It's a system like any other. There's a lot of credibility and reality to a certain amount in it. But these big wins and fakes, as George Orwell put it in his thing, and everything you say about it, I totally buy into that. And I really feel like I've waffled on there. Excuse me.
No, it's okay, Don. No, I had a post on, two posts on fakeologist.com on the lottery. One was we just had a $55 million winner group, the group win. And the thing about group wins is one might think it would be very hard to fake a group win because you could say, oh, all those people couldn't be lying, could they?
Oh, yes. That very much works, doesn't it? Yes.
But go look at the picture. Go look at the picture I posted. You might have to go down a few on fakeologist.com. It looks like a lot of those people are just pasted in there because they tend to be, seem to be looking at all different angles in a very strange, unnatural way. So it might be a fairly crude cut and paste job, but I don't think there's any, I think statistically the numbers don't come up enough when you have a lottery with 7 numbers that can be from 1 to 49. I think mathematically it just doesn't occur frequently enough to keep the momentum and interest level high enough. Bring in all the big money.
You've got it all computer. You've got it all on computer, so they know exactly who's got all the numbers. So if they want someone to win, they can win. And if they don't, they don't. Do you see what I mean? You can totally control it.
Yes, I would prefer a paper system over the computer system any day of the week, right? Where you buy a ticket and throw it in a drum. That's got to be more transparent and fair.
Well, looking at it with the football, the draws are totally fixed. You see, you need to fix that, don't you? Because you want to know, you want to put people playing with people, other people. It's totally, you can control the public like that. You know how many people are going to be in that town on that certain day and the audience. You've got everything's tied into it. So you have to control those things like the draws. So, yeah, they just do it. They do it in a barrel in front of you with balls, but they have to, it has to be fixed. Yeah, they must be doing it some way. They can do it. Do you know what I mean?
No. But to think that a government corporation here does it, makes it even harder to believe it's possible. But I'm pretty sure about it. I'll never be able to prove it, but as long as I
well, maybe there is an element. Maybe there is an element. People do really win, is what I'm saying. So it's not all cheating. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I think people do win most of the time at the lower end. I'm only talking about the biggest prizes. The insane.
Yeah, well, they write it as well.
Yeah. Impossible time.
They could say, someone hasn't won a big one for a long time, but it's good for the lottery if they do. So, yeah, you have a few million, but we're going to call it, you know, 55, but really you'll get 12, but you'll never need more than that. Or something. Do you know what I mean? You could do anything you want. Do anything you want. So, yes,
well,
I agree with you.
Absolutely. And then there was another story about some guy in Iowa, allegedly. And this is interesting because I just watched the movie Hacking Democracy, where a guy was just playing with a memory card. And then and this is right after I read a story about a memory card that was swapped when the camera wasn't looking by a internet by a lottery security consultant for a lottery in Iowa. And they said he just switched the memory cards with his numbers, and they tied in some guy in Quebec that was going to money or claim the money. And the story was ridiculous. Now, of course, it could be true, but I don't think it was. It was just another lottery story about, and what is the point of putting a story like that? Well, it kind of scares anyone searching for the word lottery hoax and lottery fixing with a fake story. And it blocks sites, skeptic sites like mine, that are speculating that the lottery is, there's a lot of fakery and fixing and not to be trusted. That's the only message I want to give. Don't trust the lottery, even if the state runs it. Do not trust it.
Well,
shouldn't be gambling
absolutely.
Anyway, but don't trust it. Don't trust it. Because the whole reason the state took the lottery in the first place is people were probably getting ripped off when they bet with their local bookie, right? You could just take all the bets and then take off. That, in a way... And there was some vigilante justice that might have been dispensed for people to not pay up or had a credit. And so there was probably a lot of violence around it. So it was over to take all the gambling bits away from all the level. But I think now it's run by the high-level mafia. Just switched crook businesses, crook administrators of the lottery.
Oh, yeah, it's gone corporate, yeah.
Yeah.
And the lottery symbol in England is 666. It's this hand in a position, but it's just so obviously the three sixes, which is a symbol of the hidden hand of power, you know, where the 1066, William the Conqueror, we're taught that in schools over here repeatedly, you know, we all know that one, 1066, that figure of mine. And then 1966, we won the World Cup with England, you know, red shirts at Wembley, with England that day. And then, It seems these things are written into history. These numbers, 1666, the Great Fire of London. Great Fire, 1666. I mean, they didn't waste that year, did they? Remember, we think they were doing these things years ago. That was a financial centre down by the river there in London. They cleared that financial centre out back in 1666. Now, that's a 9/11 from years before, isn't it? You know, they put it in their minds. And there it's a lottery symbol with the 666 there, very, very clearly. It's kind of obvious. You'd find it easily, British, English lottery symbol, the fingers, you know.
Right in your face, huh?
Every news agent on every working class estate that they're building up boxes around here, council owned or whatever, or housing association owned, yeah. There at the shop they give you, the nicer shop one, the blue and red, yellow of the sign there. And also in the sign, you see the 666 there, sitting there. Oh, everywhere you go, every high street, every road. Yeah, so it's like, there we are. That's how it is.
Yeah, well, some guy put a really good post about...
It doesn't mean there's a devil, do you know what I mean? It's just concept.
And it's just such a fabulous quote about the lottery, how it was meant to keep the polls busy, give them a few crumbs and make up the big lottery winners. It's all right there in black and white, right in your face. We're not making any great revelations.
No, but I think it's worth pointing out that thing, that the Orwell thing. I think Nemesis posted it, didn't he, the other day, or you posted it in response.
Nemesis.
The Reds and the lefties that you'll talk to, the people who consider the left wing would buy into Orwell and love Orwell and consider him a thinker and perhaps he was, you know. I think. A dupe, he was called by someone you could call him a dupe. And you're saying that it was there to, he was there deliberately. Well, he was certainly part of a time and a clique, and it seems to have been at a time with his, he was there to sort of, yes, present that to us, wasn't he? He's been given to us by the left wing.
So.
Yeah, and he's telling us the lottery's fake, but no one seems to care. No one seems to notice, do they? You know, we should say, yeah, look, that's, he told us, Orwell told us, I suppose we are. And they're like, it is like that. Funny.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know. I loved Orwell. Down and out in Paris and London, you know. It was compelling, real life. But someone had this conversation with me the other day about Orwell. Do you really think he was a kind of a conscious agent of what he was doing? He knew he was, being allowed to do this for these reasons. He was sponsored in what he did, really, told to write the things he did.
Yeah, were they his thoughts? That's the question. Were they his thoughts? People, I guess, are a little more accepting of the idea that musicians don't all write their own music. They're given things because they can't. And then it's if they've got a big brand, like they're a popular artist, the brand is more important, but the suppliers supply music to them. It's not all in their own brain. So authors have got to be the same way. Big named authors. They can't always come up with all the material, so why not let others help you? Of course, my website is certainly not all me. It's all the contributors. They're all under the banner, fakeologist.com, though. But I make no, obviously, not all me doing the writing.
No, it was nice. Simon the other day put on Clues for our thread to our Seuss thread. Did you see that? He said the tireless Zilef Alex and Tom Dalpra have fortunately got a thread going over at Fakeologist. So he just sort of directly referred our thread that we had going. So that was nice. I thought, well, I felt
good.
I felt like that was an acknowledgement that I was really pleased. You know,
After Simon asked that I had gone mad by letting Flash come back, and then Brian V chiming in that he didn't trust me, and I never invited Brian V on the show. That was another thread.
Oh, I'd like that. I mean, if I felt a little bit better, it'd be great to chat to those guys. You know, I mean. Brian V, I like Brian V. It's always just, I like a bit. I mean, so you can say he's caustic, and I think Zilef Alex finds him a bit, you know, blunt. But, you know, at times, you need to fucking put a fuck in with this sort of stuff. You know what I mean? He seems fairly straightforward, reliable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he says what he thinks, he might be wrong. But I don't think he hates you. He's just saying he didn't trust you. And that's fair enough. He's been honest.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I took it as that, Tim.
Come on over, Brian V. Come on over to the audio chat, Brian V. You don't need to... You don't need to register anywhere. It's free. Come on over and chat. Let's hear you. Tell me how you don't trust me.
You just got to do that little fiddle thing of just setting it up, that little audio chat. It's not that difficult, really, TeamSpeak, is it? But, I mean, it must be nice that people are welcome. Yeah, absolutely. Honest voices. And why not?
Yeah, Everyone can talk.
Everyone can
Hash
talk.
It out.
You know, we're not always going to agree on all sorts of things, but if goodwill is here, and certainly at Clues Forum, with all the patience that Simon's shown with talking, I think it shows it shows a bit of love, you know. That, you know, it shows a bit of decent people, you know, in a sense, you know. So let's go with that kind of sense of honesty, and everyone welcome.
Yeah, or everyone's welcome on the audio chat. You don't need an invitation; just show up.
Yeah.
Come on down.
It does then become like that ham radio thing, if you can just sort of tune in and just sort of sit around. I mean, it is that. That's why you do it, and when you put them on the site, sometimes they feel like rambling fucking monologues. I've talked a lot of some shit while I've been talking on this bit, you know what I mean? I'm really hoping you can edit some of it out. Oh, God, he's waffling there or shit. You know what I mean? Do I really want to listen to this sort of back? Yeah. Too much of it. But then at moments, you get your nuggets, you get your little bits, and you think, I really like that bit. Oh, yeah, hearing those guys talk like that. Oh, yeah, that was good. You know, so it's always good. You always dip in and out, can't you? But,
same as a forum. You read a forum and there's nothing but crap on there half the time. Then you get a nugget.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how you got to read life, really, haven't you? Because we know there's so much. It's this crazy world out there. But it's just focus, just being in focus. And then I was going to say, I haven't got the chat on my computer. I've got a dodgy computer, an old computer. There's some kind of glitch on the...
What is happening?
I get a gray box and then it goes, I go reconnect and it doesn't reconnect. I've got to get nothing. So that's why I don't go and chat anymore. I used to be on there a lot. You weren't so much on there, but I'm not on there at all now. So that's just why I wasn't on there. I'll get another computer. It'll work again, I think. I need a new account. I think it's just on that account on this computer, but I mean, just one of those things. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Well, there are lots of other chat-tang. Can you get on any chat-tangle at all?
Oh, there's that chat-tango one, isn't there? I'll have to look at that. I have looked on that before. I've been on there before. I'll see. Go to
Dell's site. Dell has a view from the bog, and he has a chat-tango on there. Can you get on his?
Yeah. I mean, surely I must be able to. Good idea. Yeah, view from the bog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been over there the other day.
Yeah, you got to click on his chat window to get in. I don't think it's off on the main screen.
I haven't heard Dell lately, but I hope he's all right. I haven't heard from him lately, but he's fond voice.
Yeah, he's quiet.
On here. Yeah, and he's in the background doing his technical stuff for Kay, I think, isn't he? He's sorting out her sound.
No, he stopped doing that.
Oh, right.
But yeah, because of the time difference too much.
I think
way
actually,
too
yes.
much.
Okay, okay, yeah, that's understandable. I'm Dale needs some sleep at some time. It amazed me sometimes he would stay up all night. But I was going to say that Psyoptopickle thing. Yeah, I think that was interesting. You said that it did. But Simon said he's still a million miles away from distrusting you. Did you see that?
No. Well, was that right after? Was that in the same breath?
Yeah, look at the thread. He did say that, yeah, in answer to Brian.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe. Well, it's good. Well, Simon should trust me. I haven't done anything. I'm not Simon. I'm a different person. And I just, maybe for chatting purposes, I want to get Psyoptopickle back. But maybe in the forums, he's not too effective.
Well, to be honest, you know, it's a bit of a funny situation because there's several of us, you know, who feel that would, and it seems clear that he is some sort of an agent or of obfuscation of some sort, you know, misdirection. Yes. So if he comes back, it then sort of is a game of cat and mouse. And I don't as I said before, I don't really dislike the guy necessarily at all. I quite like him. You know, you hear him talking, you think, yeah, I mean, you know he's intelligent.
Sharp wit,
I mean, I don't know. Like you say, we've got a lot in common. I'm saying perhaps we have mutual fascinations about things. And I'd like to, if he is an agent, okay, I don't really know, do I, true nature of power. I'm just trying to find out what's going on. I'm just a guy trying to find out what's going on. So what do I know? You know, I don't know. I don't think I've got an enemy necessarily. Do you know what I mean? I don't, it's just, I understand this is some sort of, I'm just trying to look for the truth in a sense, you know. So
I know. You got some points. I'd like him to see if he can refute all the points you brought up. Better on an audio because you can go really fast back and forth to try and hash it out. So I'd like to hear that. You have some legitimate points you would like addressed. Let's have them out. Let's hear them out.
Yes. Very, very simply. I think he's proven to be, I mean, it's funny how you can just say, oh, that Tavistock Tim stuff, stop all that, and then come back and forgive that without thinking that shows him to be sort of schizophrenic in his behaviour. And then he sort of bad-mouthed the Clues crew over on there, and then came back with you on the audio that day and was sounded sort of quite, oh, yes, you know, glowing again, you know, to be part of the gang, you know, to come back.
Yeah, I mean, it was
Oh, mate, you know, Tim, you're beautifully naive. I think that's why we love you, partly. You know, that's why I'm feeling at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
Why? Long way you run, you know. Mate, well, you know, I think this is part of your genius, you know, perhaps. You know, God, what do you need? And we're all, and we appreciate things in different ways. I just think you just sort of, you know, it seems to me, I think really, some of us have really looked at some of the stuff he's done, I think, and then he's put a straw man to that, I think. And then really looked. So then we've had cause to really look at it, you know, and we think, yeah, okay, this is kind of provable at this point. You know, it seems clear, you know, that he's an agent of some sort. You know, he caused a lot of trouble here before, it seems. You know, people were terrified, you know, and then, you know, it was sort of, so to speak, in quotes, small letters. But, you know, and it's scattered and then all those likes and dislikes going up and down, you know. That was crazy.
Yeah, that's the one thing I never got, all the people scattering. My goodness. I still don't get it to this day. I must be dense.
Well, it was...
Well,
bless him. I mean, we should say to Sarge, going, well, mate, you come back, you did all right, you scared him, didn't you? You know, say that to him, but then send him off, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a tiger, you know, crikey. But, maybe it was that, you know, it was the way that it was played out because Banazir and, there was that big thing with Banazir and Dusty coming back and they completely called out into question your integrity and Simon Shanks and Clues Forum and everything, weren't they, didn't they? You know, that was epic.
Yeah, it was. It was crazy.
That
I
was
thought
all
it was
part of it.
Called for.
So,
it was
so,
nuts.
Well, yes. I think it you had to see, Simon could be leaving it open to question there, you know. But he said, send me a personal email and ask me, you know, and left it at that. And then there was kind of the reaction from Banazir and Dusty seemed like, you know, over the top.
Well, I hear Banazir was on Eric Dubé's forum, which I have been kicked off, can't log into anymore. And he was kind of trashing me a little bit. Did you see that?
Yeah, SMJ posted it. Yeah. I hope SMJ's all right, by the way. He posted from a parking lot the other day, and he said living in his van. But I'm sure he's all right. He's a big boy.
Sure, he's fine. It's summertime. How bad could it be?
Yeah, you actually have warm weather over there. I forget these things.
Yeah, it was too warm.
In North America.
I'm actually down there. It's probably down in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, but anyway, so Banazir is back over there, and it wasn't really wasn't much of a post, really. I don't get bothered by it, really. Honestly, I don't. Can't let it get to me. Can't give it that much attention. But I just wonder why people put so much energy into trashing others.
Yeah, he always had this sort of verge of sort of giggling tone in his voice. It was almost, I don't know with Banazir, but I liked Banazir. You know, I warmed to him, but then you did as well. Didn't you?
I like him. I do him a lot off the air. Oh, yeah. Great guy.
Yeah. Really good conversation and interesting. Yeah, it was, and we did. No, we used to have like seven, we talk about, there was that other 7-hour audio, but I've been on a sort of 7-hour audio where we didn't, you know, there wasn't arguing or whatever. We'd be up all night chatting and laughing and having fun about stuff, different ideas. He put me onto different search. He got me looking into the Boston Molasses tragedy, for instance, you know, chucked a number at me. You see, you know, talked about Zach earlier and his numbers. That was one thing you were talking about. And, he had things you could throw ideas even around with him, you know, I'd get things off him. All that number there. Oh yeah, but that one I do know, you know. I don't know why slight tangent, excuse me.
Yeah.
I need a break.
No,
I'm dropping all going.
I'm going to wrap it up now because I'm just pulling into my driveway and then I'm going to go out again. So I'll wrap it up now, Tom. I got to go get my Belgian waffle. I'm starving now, so.
Yeah, nice one, too.
Have a great day. Have a great day. And come back anytime. Fix your chat angle problem.
All right. Edit out the bad stuff. Make me sound intelligent, yeah? Because I'm a fool, really.
I don't think I can listen to this. But others, I can't listen to this again.
Yeah.
Let others work it out.
I think I could agree
fast
with you.
Fast forward. Think it fast forward to the bad bit.
All right, mate. Yeah. All right. Take care. Yeah, right. Cheers. All right, bye.
Hey, folks. Alex Jones here. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.